Father, bless these words in Jesus' name. I went to visit someone this weekend, and this is an interesting person, actually people. They're interesting people in some ways. The reason is because they don't have a God. Now, they are not anti-God. They are not pro-God. They are void of God. And it's kind of an interesting place to be. They're not anti-God. They're not pro-God. They're void of Him. They are godless. We often hear about godlessness. They are godless. They are without Him. And they lead their life, but their conversation and their life and their whole lifestyle is a meaningless life. It's all about, what do I feel like? And on one day, it'll be one way they feel. On the next day, it'll be a different way they feel. On one day, they'll feel like that, like doing something. On the next day, they don't feel like doing something. They feel like doing something different. And so this is the way they live their life. This is a life without purpose. And it is a life without meaning. It's a life, in fact, although it sounds cruel, but it is true, it is a life without value. Because one day they are here, and next day they are there, and it's nothing of any significance. It's just the same vapor that their feelings are. And I was thinking about that, and how believers are really the same way. You see, believers have this trap they can fall into. And I think sometimes they do. They had a life with God, and then they give it away for a life without God. And this is a trap. Now, Paul said to the Galatians, you had a life with God, I'm paraphrasing, you had a life with God, why did you give it away? You were just right. You were just right. You walked in faith. You were responding. No, you weren't perfect, but you were responding. Faith was being built in you. You were just right. Why did you give it away? Go back, Galatians, to the way you used to be. Believers are like this today. Young people sometimes fall into this trap. Young people going from college into the job world, or young people going from high school into college. They can fall into this trap also. Now, our young people, I think, do remarkably well with this. You guys have made great decisions for God. You've made decisions that you're going to get to know Him, and that's going to be your primary goal and focus in life. And that's a wonderful decision. That is a decision that gives meaning to your lives and value to your existence. That's a decision that gives you things that are of eternal worth and eternal rewards. That's a decision that's going to take you places not only in the earth, but also in heaven. Paul said, God said to Paul, actually, you're going to stand before kings. If you ever read Deuteronomy 30, that's an interesting chapter. After Moses basically reiterated the entirety of the law to the Israelites, then he said to them, it boils down to this. If you trust me and do what I tell you, I'll bless you. If you don't trust me and you don't do what I tell you, I will oppose you. Now, here's your pick. Choose the right one. And then he outlines it. I set before you life, that is trusting God and doing what He tells you. And I set before you death, not trusting God and not doing what He says to you. Choose life. I'm going to make it really easy. I'm going to give you the answer. Choose life. But yet, believers, we don't often do that as a whole. Now, I want to reiterate, because the atmosphere can work on people, I am very proud of the young people we have. You guys have made beautiful decisions towards the Word of God, beautiful decisions toward responding to a calling, toward faith, toward being built up in God's Word. You have made beautiful decisions toward walking with Him, toward having a life with Him. So when I say these things, I'm not aiming them at anybody here. It's simply a principle God has put on my heart. We believers like to choose death. How do we choose death? By not choosing the ways of God, not trusting Him, not believing Him for His promises, not believing Him for His calling, and instead trying to do things like the world. We're not against God, we're for Him, we tell ourselves. But then we do things in a way, we live in a way that we don't have Him. We think in a way that is apart from Him. We don't acknowledge Him in all our ways so that He would direct our paths. We don't delight ourselves anymore in Him. We used to delight ourselves, but we don't delight ourselves. The trials come, or the temptations come, or the details of life come, or the problems, whatever they happen to be, they come. And we stop delighting ourselves in the Lord and we look at what we want, or we look at what we need, or we look at what's going on around us. And it robs us and we live like we are godless, without Him, void of God's presence. But we are not godless. We have God's presence. He is here for us. He will never leave us nor forsake us. We refuse to use our greatest resource. And then to trust Him. He gives us His promises and we don't believe Him. He tells us choose life and we go and we choose death. We are like Israel of old. God said to Israel, actually He said to Moses, Israel, I gave, right after he finished everything in chapter 31, right after he finished everything in Deuteronomy, He said, Moses, they're going to blow it. Again, I'm paraphrasing. They're going to blow it. I just told them, if you choose my ways, if you trust me and do it my way, I'll bless you. If you do not trust me and you do not do it my way, I'll curse you. Moses, they're going to blow it. So I'm going to give you a song in chapter 32. And that song is going to remind them of what they had and could have had and can still have. We believers, we get into this place sometime because of unbelief, where we start to do things our own way, by our own thinking, without the mind of God. You know how stupid that is? I mean, I don't know what's going to happen on your ride home today. Like, what's the message going to be today? Does anybody know? What are the songs that are going to be played? We have them written up here. Are they actually going to be played? We trust that they are because the player of the songs is here. But maybe she'll pull a fast one on us. Okay, granted, not likely, but maybe, within the realm of possibility. Do you see what I'm saying? Nobody's promised me the next moment. Nobody has promised. I don't know what it will be. I don't know what today is going to bring. All I know is the promises that He gives to me. And that's all I know. And so I trust Him in my calling and I trust Him in my life. But I don't try to live as one who is not, who has no God. You know what young people will sometimes do? And older people too, in a different sort of detail. They will say, okay, it's time for college or it's time for a job. And they start going about it exactly as the world. What's my preference? What would I rather do? What kind of a job would entertain me? Rather than asking God, where would you have me go and what would you have me do? I got news for you. If you're not asking God about your decisions in your life, you're making wrong decisions. And I don't care even if they were the decisions that He would tell you to make. Why are they the wrong decisions? Because you have not allowed Him into those decisions. You have not allowed Him into that area of your life. You have blocked Him out. You have kept Him at arm's distance and said to God, God, you stay in your place. This is my throne. This is my domain. Sucker. You're a sucker. Why? Because it's exactly what the enemy wants you to do. It's like, remember, I was talking to a person and they actually read the Satanic Handbook. And this person told me, and it was fascinating, they told me, as a believer, beautiful believer, but they told me, one of the major points in this handbook is, don't be nasty, just be all about yourself. Isn't this how many Christians live though? Don't be nasty, just be all about yourself. Don't be about God, do whatever makes you feel good. Do whatever you can figure out. Well, have fun with a sick head, faint heart. Figure it out. By the way, do you know what's coming in 2 minutes? You think you do? Maybe God will surprise you. Do you know what's coming later today? You think you do? I'll tell you one thing. Christina thought she was going to go home that evening. And you know what? She went to a different home than she anticipated. She was even in the car and on the way. How much more of an anticipation can you have than that? She's in the car and on the way. She didn't anticipate ICE. That guy, when I was working, he anticipated reaching for his iced tea. He didn't know he was going to drop dead between the time he held his hand out and the time that his hand touched the glass. He didn't know that. Acknowledge the Lord in all your ways. Acknowledge Him. How can a believer live like an unbeliever? And then a person gets into a position, older people, you know, maybe you have families and you say, I've got responsibilities, and all of a sudden you lose your job or something. Okay, then I have to go. Or maybe there's a better opportunity somewhere in a different state. Oh, I don't pray about whether I'm called there. I just see the opportunity. Open door, must be for me, must be God. You know what? Open doors and closed doors don't determine the call of God. God's will determines the call of God. You ought to write that down. That's an important statement. Open doors and closed doors don't determine the will of God. God's will determines the will of God. God opens doors and He closes them and He sees fit. That's what determines the call of God. But people meddle with change. Don't they? People meddle with change. The Bible tells us, do not meddle with change. Don't be given to those that meddle with change. Proverbs 24:21. Don't keep company. Don't even think about meddling with change. Oh, I'm going to drop the word now because I've got my career to think about. I've got my education to think about. I've got my preferences and my entertainment to think about. Now I have to be a responsible individual. After all, getting, you know, spending all that time in the Word of God, I mean, I've got to be responsible in the world. You know what? You're responsible in the world, but irresponsible toward God if you think like that. I got news for you. This world's going to pass away, and pretty soon, much sooner than you anticipate, you're going to pass out of it too. And I don't care if you live to be 150 years old, it's going to be sooner than you anticipated, and you're going to pass out of it too. And then you have your career. Then you have your secular education about liberal studies. Then you have what your unsaved, ungodly professors gave you. Then you have your job and your $150,000 a year, you hope. I tell you one thing. There's two things that you're going to take to heaven with you, and it isn't your $150,000, and it isn't what your unsaved professor taught you, and it isn't your liberal education. You're going to take the word you stored in your heart and the souls you win to Christ, and that is all you are taking with you, and I don't care how much else you have. Isn't that what the Bible says? Naked you came in, naked you go out. Trust me, it happens that way. I've seen both ends of the story. Naked you come in and naked you go out. And in both cases, they put you in a bag of sorts. One is made of wool, the other is made of plastic. Or cotton, I guess. The first one, not the second. That would be bad. I'll tell you something. Don't meddle with change. Trust God's promises. Trust His Word. Trust the Holy Spirit. Trust the call. Don't meddle with change. Don't walk by sight. Don't think in natural reasoning. Don't meddle with change. Buy the truth and sell it not. Isn't that what the Bible says? Proverbs 23:23. Buy the truth and sell it not. How many believers buy the truth and then something happens and they start selling it off? Hey, I don't like the truth anymore. The truth is not my thing anymore. The truth does not meet my emotional standard anymore. The truth does not meet my preference anymore. But I got news for you. You've sold that one thing that you had that was eternal. You sold the pearl of great price. You want a bowl of soup? That's all you got for it? Right, Esau? You had something eternal. You had a promise from God as the firstborn. You sold it. Why? You wanted soup. You are hungry for something now and you wanted soup. And so you got your soup. Israel. Promise still came to Israel, but they had to wait for it. But that group that had unbelief, God had to deal with them first. God had to deal with Israel. They could have gone in 11 days. And they wander around in the wilderness for 40 years. They had to deal with it first. Why? They sold the truth. They sold the truth. How many people does that happen to? They get a little bit bored with the Word of God. They get a little bit bored with the body, with soul winning. They get a little bit bored with the pastor. They get a little bit bored. Why? You've sold the truth. You've let your emotions dictate to you and you've sold the truth. You had something and you're losing it. You sold the truth. Familiarity came in and it robbed you. You sold the truth. By the way, familiarity will leave you without a provision in the trial. Never sell the truth. Finally, in closing to this part, if you would turn into Isaiah 40. Don't sell truth. Don't sell truth. Don't get familiar. Guard your heart. Do not get familiar. Do you realize what you are doing when you are getting familiar? You are selling the only thing off that is eternal that you possess. Do not get familiar. Do not get bored because boredom comes out of familiarity. Do not get familiar. Familiarity comes out of pride. Do not get familiar. Pride is the fruit of iniquity. Do not get familiar. Isaiah 40 and verse 21. The Word of God says, have you not known and have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? Have you not known? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? From the get-go, from the very beginning, didn't I tell this to you, God says? Didn't I give it to you from the foundations and you didn't understand it? Did you not understand it from the foundations of the earth? It is He that sitteth upon the circle of the earth. The inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers. What are your problems? What are your details? It is a grasshopper. It is meaningless. It is your grasshopper. What is your challenge? It is a grasshopper that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain and spreads them out as a tent and to dwell in. That brings the princes to nothing and He makes the judges of the earth as vanity. Yea, they shall not be planted. Yea, they shall not be sown. Yea, their stock shall not take root in the earth, and He shall also blow upon them, and they shall wither, and the whirlwind shall take them away as stubble. This is the earth. This is what people sell the truth and buy sometimes. This is what sometimes people, this is what they go for. This is their career. This is their fancy education. This is their temporal consideration. To whom then will you liken me, or shall I be equal? Saith the Holy One. Lift up your eyes on high and behold who hath created these things. Look in the sky. Are you confused? Look in the sky. Who has created this? Like you want to walk by sight? Fine. Look at the sky. Who created? Who gave the bird the opportunity to fly? Who gave you the ability to see? How is it that chemicals can produce vision? Like, think a little. Isn't that what He's saying? Think a little. Wake up and think a little bit. You have fallen asleep, Israel. Think a little bit. Lift up your eyes on high and behold who has created these things that bringeth out their hosts by number. He calleth them by all by names. He gives, you can't even number the stars. We try to figure out how big the universe is. That's such a ridiculous endeavor. And God knows every single star by name. You know how many stars there's just in our galaxy? There's 100 million stars in our galaxy, and there's billions upon billions beyond number of galaxies. And God knows every star by name. We can't even figure out how many galaxies there are. Forget stars. Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created these things that bringeth out their number? He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of His might. For that He is strong in power, not one faileth. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? How many people think that God doesn't see the inside of their minds? How many people think that God does not hear their thoughts? How many people think that when they are alone, God does not see them, or hear them, or know them? How many people get familiar with other people, and in their little clan, in their family, or among their friends, God is forgotten? You know what? He is still there, and He knows it. He knows that He has been forgotten. That's a problem. In Deuteronomy 31, God says, Israel, when you forget me, I will turn my back on you. We are not Israel, and God will not turn His back on us. But do you realize how God does not like to be forgotten? He is your life. He is the center of your life. Whether you like it or not, He is your life. You have been bought with another, by another. He bought you with a price. It was His precious blood. He bought you. He owns you. Your life is hid in Christ with God. He owns you. You are His. He can do with you as He chooses, Jonah. Hey, God, Nineveh isn't working out for me. I really don't like that call. I really don't like Nineveh. I don't like the Ninevites. They're nasty. I don't like them. I don't want to be in Nineveh. I don't want to have anything to do with it. I'm going to go over there, God. And if you try to make me go over there, fine. I'll run the other way and I'll show you who's boss, God. Isn't this what we are like? Isn't this our attitude sometimes toward God? All of us have been there. I'll show you who's boss, God. I'm going to do it my way. I'm going to go by sight and I'm going to go by natural reasoning, and your sovereignty is out the window, God, because I'm the boss. And God says, I got news for you. You're going to have an interesting little encounter, Jonah. I'm going to bring a new friend into your life. And he's going to show you the better way. And if Balaam, if your donkey has to talk to you, so be it. He's got more sense than you do. But I'm still going to have my way, says God. Jonah would have been much better off just to respond and go to Nineveh. All he did was encounter a lot of frustration, a lot of hostility, a lot of anger, a lot of upset, and a really gross inside of a fish. And he got slimy in the process. God says, if you want to get slimy in the process, fine, but I'm still going to have my way in your life. It's up to you whether you want to do it the hard way or the easy way. Either way, it works for me. I'm going to still do what I aim to do in your life. It's up to you whether you want to feel a lot of heartache and a lot of frustration and a lot of hurt in your life. It's up to you if you want a lot of wounds in your life and a lot of bruises and a lot of sores and a lot of seared consciences. It's up to you. But I'll tell you one thing, God says, I'm going to have my way in your life because I'm God and you're not. How many of us say, I'm God, God, and you're not? And God says, I got news for you. Lucifer, you're going to fall flat on your face and you're going to bake. It's going to be a very warm experience for you. We can't go there. We're born again. But don't we live like that sometimes? Isn't that our attitude sometimes? Sometimes it is. Be honest. Sometimes it is. Sometimes it is. That's why these young people who make the right decisions for God's Word, right decisions to be faithful, right decisions to stay in your calling, right decisions to trust God, you know what you're doing for your life? You're building it into something unimaginably beyond anything you could even dream. That's where your life is found. You make those right choices toward God and toward His Word and toward His calling. You make those right choices toward faith and toward responding to Him. You're giving yourself something that is more valuable than all the earth. It will never pass away. It will not perish. Those are your right decisions. Eternal rewards, eternal riches, reigning forever with God, an intimacy with Him that only a few will have, relatively speaking. Why? Because you've chosen those things. You've chosen joy and peace that passes understanding. Do you know why so many believers have so much trouble in their trial? Because they have no joy. Why don't they have no joy? Because they don't live in the presence of God. And so they have no joy. And what happens when they have no joy? They fail. Why? Because the joy of the Lord is their strength. Now, how do they fail? They don't go out and... Yes, when they live in unbelief because they have no joy of the Lord as their strength, they go out and fail. Right? Without faith it is impossible to please God. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Do you see it? That's why I'm so proud of my Bible college gang and some people on Fridays who are thinking, and those of you guys who are taking classes or, you know, at least have the heart to, who are faithful to church, who are faithful to outreach when you're able, who are faithful. Why? Because you're giving yourself something of eternal value. You're giving yourself something that's going to last for you, for you forever, and it's not going to ever be taken away from you. What on earth here can you keep? What from God can you lose? It's like that song says, He is no fool who trades what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. So who is the fool? The one who trades what he cannot lose to get what he cannot keep. But you guys have made great decisions. And you're beautiful that way. And God is pleased about it. He finds it delightful that a young person... Can you imagine how delightful it is to God when a young person chooses to keep themselves pure before Him? When a young person, for example, chooses not to date. By the way, dating is not an old practice. Dating is a new practice. It is an ungodly practice, and its purpose is from the enemy to destroy families so that he can take down the church and the Christ's testimony in the nation. That's what dating's all about. That's not how dating was done. Dating was never done. By the way, a whole lot of courtship wasn't all that much done either. You know how it happened? It happened the way it happened in Genesis 24. Abraham sent his servant. It's a picture of the Father sending the Holy Spirit to find a bride for his son. And the bride had to choose in positive volition and respond to the Holy Spirit. And she chose in positive volition and responded to the Holy Spirit, there was your match. That's how it was done. People nowadays try each other on for size. And they call it entertainment. In verse 28, hast thou not known, hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary, there is no searching of His understanding? You can't figure Him out. You can't figure Him out. Stop trying to figure Him out. You can't figure Him out. You're never going to be able to figure out God out. Why? Because you're human and He's God. You're made of dust and He's eternal. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might He increases strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. This is young men without God. They will utterly fail. They can't think. They don't know anything. The youths are going to wear out because they have no doctrine. But what happens? But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles, and they shall run and not be weary, and walk and not faint. They do it God's way, and God honors them in doing it His way, and God brings His blessing upon them because they have followed His leading, followed His call, done it His way, lived by His word, ate the word, masticated it, loved it, slept it, drank it, ate it, breathed it. Everything was God's word in their life. Their life was God's word. If, by the way, if you think your life is anything other than God's word, if you think your life is your career, if you think your life is what you're going to do in college, if you think your life is your classes, I got news for you. It is not. It is the Word of God. It is the call of God. It's the promises of God. It's the ways of God. It's the Spirit leading of God. And that's your life. Why? Because that's the only place you'll find any life in. That's your life. It's amazing how people live like godless people. Not ungodly. Godless. Like He is not there. Like He is void. His presence is not in their life. They are godless. But they are Christians. But some do not live like they are godless. Some people love God. Some people love His word. Some people love His call. Some people love His promises. Some people love His way. And He gives them a life worth living. You want your life to amount to something? Walk in the ways of God. Those people that I saw this weekend, their lives, if you put them up as a sum total, amounted to very little. No God. There is no God in their life. There is very little there. There's nothing. It's meaningless. It's not. It's going to vanish. Unless they get saved, it's going to vanish. And that's going to be the end of it. Don't ever be a believer who does not give their life to God. Why do you think it's, in closing, why do you think it says in John 3, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever shall believe on Him will not perish, but have everlasting life. Do you think that's a soul winning verse? Oh, we use it, but I know we use it for soul winning, and it has an application, but do you think that's a soul winning verse? He said that to Israel. He wasn't trying to convert anybody. He said that to Israel. That God so loved the world that He sent His only begotten Son. Who was the Son? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He sent His Son. He sent His Word, and He made it alive. So whoever believes, whoever trusts His Word, whoever walks in faith, whoever walks by the promises of God, whoever clings to Him, whoever trusts Him and puts their hope in Him, that person shall not have the experience of one who perishes, but one who has everlasting life. You want that experience of everlasting life? Trust God for your life. You people trying to do things on their own, make decisions on their own. Oh, I'm going to go work over there because it's an opportunity. Yeah, is it God's opportunity or is it Satan's opportunity? By the way, Satan gives you opportunities. Why? To take you out of God's opportunities. You be careful about your decisions. You guys who are in college or are thinking about college, you be careful about your decisions. What classes you take, who you take them with, what you study. You be careful. You pray, you ask God, and you be careful. And when you get out of college, you pray what you ought to do with your education, if anything. You pray about going, you pray about what you do when you get there, you pray about what you do when you get out, and when you're out and in the work world, the rest of it, you pray about what you do as far as your jobs go. You pray about, I knew a pilot, he's actually in Baltimore, in our ministry in Baltimore, very godly man, he was an airline pilot, we have a few of them there. And the airline sent him to a city and they booked him in the hotels and somebody made a mistake. I think it had to do with those one gender names or both gender, you know, one name for either gender. I'm not sure. But they put him, you know, he was a married man, and they put him into a hotel room with a woman, with an airline stewardess. And he said, no way. And they said, sorry, this is the best we can do. He said, no way. He didn't say, oh, well, my job made me do it. Oh, that's really swift. And so your job is God in your life. Is that right? No. He stuck to his conviction. He said, no way. Absolutely no way. You do things God's way. You do things God's way. You do things God's way. All right? Get this. You do things God's way. Why? Israel, if you believe me and you do what I tell you, I'm going to bless you. If you don't believe me and you don't do what I'm going to tell you, I'm going to curse you. I said before you life and death. By the way, if you're not sure, choose life. That's the right answer. Choose life. In your lives, choose life. In your education, choose life. If you're going to college, choose life. By the way, don't even think about college without Bible college associated with it. If you do, you're insane. Why? Because you have chosen the world versus God and said, I'll be fine without the Word being extra built up as I'm dwelling in, meditating on, and masticating the world. Well, knock yourself out. Well, I don't have time for Bible college. Well, you've got the wrong priorities. You think you need your secular education, but you don't need anything that is outside of God's will. And I'll tell you something, you give up God's word for a secular education, that's sin. Why? Because you're in a war and you're not building your faith to sustain you in the battle as you're trying to muck it out among ungodly students, ungodly professors, studying ungodly subjects. Well, what's wrong with my subject? All I wanted to study was biology. Oh, really? So your biology professors who are Christians who are going to build your faith and build you up in the Word of God, right? Are they going to tell you that God doesn't exist, that evolution is really what happened, and that, you know, you're crazy for even believing? And you think you're going to survive that without an extra portion from God? You are nuts. You don't know what you're talking about. You don't. If that's your thinking, you don't know what you're talking about. Now, you guys are great that way. And again, I'm not talking to our people here, because you guys are faithful and you stay in the Word and you have done it that way. And I'm not worried about anybody in our group, but this is what the Holy Spirit's leading, so that's what I'm going to say. Probably somebody on the internet needs to hear this. You do it God's way. Period. You do it God's way. Period. End of sentence, end of consideration, end of discussion. You do things God's way. Period. No discussion. You do it God's way. Period. No discussion. Nothing about it. Nothing to consider. Nothing to think about. Nothing to ponder. Nothing to question. Nothing to decide. You do it God's way. Period. You walk in faith. Period. You trust God. Period. You get built up in the Word of God. Period. You go by God's promises. Period. You go according to leading of the Holy Spirit. Period. You get the mind of Christ. Period. That's it. Ain't nothing else out there. You think there's anything else out there? I got news for you. You're deceived. Do it God's way. Do it God's way. Do it God's way. Choose life and do it God's way. Right? Choose life. I think it's amazing. He gave them the answer. And then he turns around to Moses and says, Moses, they're going to blow this. But we believers are the same way. We don't cling. We don't cling. We say, okay, I still have it. It's a nice part of my life, but I got my thing. I tell you what, your familiarity has robbed you if that's the way that your heart is. Go back to the sweetness you once had with the Savior. You need to be there again. Do it God's way. Do it God's way. Get into His Word. Take it seriously. Do it God's way. Amen.